What a sweet consolation, the song said, when he tells me that I'm his child. Is there anything better possibly than that? Than to have God say, be at peace, you're mine. Your sins are forgiven. I love you, I'm your father, and you're mine. What a wonderful consolation to have that assurance. Well, I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I want you to know that I personally endeavor to flee to the city of refuge when this time comes, because I need the Lord. I need Him to be the one that speaks. I want to be an empty vessel, to be able to speak the word of the Lord in spirit and in truth, because if it's left up to me, I'll mess everything up. My opinions will get mixed in, and I don't want to do that. I'm desperate for God's Spirit to meet with us and to help me in the delivery of His Word. So I desire from my heart your prayers always. I'd like to read out of the 18th chapter of Luke today. This is a passage where Jesus was teaching his disciples, and by extension, he's teaching us. And so I want to get out of it what the Lord has for me personally. And we'll start reading at the 10th verse, Luke 18 and 10. And we'll just read through 14. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And the Pharisee stood, and listen closely what it says. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican man over here. I fast twice in a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but he smote on his breast, and from his heart he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Some time ago, we considered the importance of facing ourselves. You remember? Acknowledging who we are, not covering anything up, and being willing to say, Lord, this is me. This is who I am. And I think sometimes that we as people, we're afraid to do that sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for us to just say, this is me. We're not willing always to do that. Sometimes we're ashamed of who we know we are in some areas of life. Sometimes we feel threatened scared of what it might mean, what other people might think about us. Sometimes we willingly cover up to ourselves, not just to other people. Sometimes we willingly cover up to ourselves what we are and are willingly blind to it and just move on. Have you ever had an open face sandwich? Anybody ever had an open face sandwich? You heard of those? There are places that sell open-faced sandwiches. Some people make them maybe at home. An open-faced sandwich is a sandwich that is served to you without the top piece of covering, without the top piece of bread. And maybe one of the advantages of it is that there's less calories in an open-faced sandwich because you just have one piece of bread, maybe. But, you know, in an open-faced sandwich, it's easier to tell if there's worms in the lettuce. If there's mold on the cheese, if it's grown a little penicillin, it's easier to see because it's not covered up. If there's dark spots in the tomato, you can see it more readily than if you just package it all together and say, here is the open-faced sandwich for you to enjoy. And you eat the open-faced sandwich and you kind of work through it all and you're really not all sure what you're eating, what's inside, but you eat it. But an open-faced sandwich, well, you open it up and you can see what's inside. And some people take closed sandwiches and they turn them into open-faced sandwiches so they can see what's inside. You ever seen that happen before? They want to know what's inside, and sometimes they will remove things from the closed sandwich. They open it and remove things, and then they close it back up, and they eat a part of it. I remember years ago, I was in town, and I had given a sandwich to somebody from Burger King. And they were on the side of the road, and I went on and did my business. And when I got done with wherever I was, Home Depot or wherever it was, I was going home, and I happened to drive back past the corner where this man was, and I saw something I've never forgotten. This was maybe 20 years ago. Here he was on the corner of a very busy intersection. Cars streaming past him, and he was sat down on the curb, and he had the sandwich that I'd given to him, and he had it all opened up and spread before him. He had taken the bun and set it over here, and he had the hamburger and the tomato and the lettuce and the onion and the pickle, and he had it all spread out on the sidewalk in front of him, all taken apart, so that he could, I guess, see each individual part of what he had been given. Each part could be identified, and then I guess he could take it or leave it as he chose. Well, he made an impression on me. The lesson might have been more for me than for him that day. There's a word that has been used quite a bit in political business circles for a while now. I don't know how well it's actually applied, but the word has value. I'll write the word on the board. Transparency. You know what transparency means? Transparency refers to being fully open. Just fully open. Nothing hidden. Full disclosure. This is the entire story. Going to roll back the curtains. Going to be completely transparent. I remember one time when I was a boy, maybe 5 years old, and I got pretty good at taking the lid off the cookie jar without anybody hearing. And it was one of those clay, kind of fired clay things that if you're not careful, it could make a lot of noise. But I got to the place where I could pull up the lid and make no noise. It was a little harder getting the lid back down, not making noise. But I got the lid off, and I got me two cookies, and I got the lid closed, and I slipped away, I think without being seen. Now that I think about it, I think I did it without being seen. And I ate my two cookies. And when I got done eating my cookies, I wiped my face off, I think. And I went and I found my mom. And as nicely as I could, I asked her, I said, "Mom, would it be all right if I went and got two cookies?" And she said, "Yes, you can go get two cookies." So, being justified by her direction that I could go get two cookies, I went and got two cookies. Two more cookies. And I felt pretty pleased with myself because I ended up with four cookies. That's not being transparent. That's not the definition of transparent. That wasn't the whole story. I didn't tell her the whole story. But I justified myself in what I did. Because she said I could go get two cookies, and I did what she said. I went and got two cookies. Sometimes, sometimes we technically speak the truth while deliberately misleading. You know what I'm talking about? Did you do your chores? Yep. I did my chores. They didn't ask if I did my chores today. They just asked did I do my chores? And I said yes, because I did. I did them last week. But I knew and they knew that when they asked the question, it was inferred, did you take care of the business that you had responsibility to take care of today? And yet as human beings, we are so inclined and practiced, if we're not careful, at covering up those things that benefit us to be covered up and to portray ourselves and to present ourselves differently than where we really are, if it's a benefit to us. Anybody ever been there except me? I think as human beings, there's just something in us that we can do automatically when we don't want things to be uncovered. But folks, this morning, when it comes to our souls, and by the way, some of these things we talked about are soul issues. Taking four cookies instead of two, could be. I'm not trying to put too much on folks, but that could be a soul issue, saying, "Yeah, I did it," when you know and they knew that they were talking about something different, and you you got caught up in the semantics of what you said so that you could technically say what you said was true if ever questioned. And yet you know good and well that you are being misleading. It's a soul issue. When it comes to our souls and our dealings with God, the whole reason that Jesus came, the whole reason he came was so that he could meet us where we are. It's so that he could come to us with hope and with forgiveness and with help so that we could be open and transparent with God. Nothing covered. This is the full story. This is exactly who I am, regardless of how ugly it looks. Because all of us have places, I would suspect, in our lives that we would start to squirm just a little bit if it started to get touched in a public way and get exposed to everybody in a very verbal public way, some area about us, ourselves, that we're not very proud of. But God doesn't want us to do that with him. God came so that he could provide us with an opportunity to just open ourselves up so that not only are we just an open sandwich with the top off, but we are like the man that just took all the pieces out and laid them out before God. Lord, here's my pickles and here's my tomato and here's my meat and here's the bread. And Lord, this piece right here doesn't look very good and I need help with that. Lord, this piece over here, it needs to be thrown away. It needs to be eliminated from my life, but Lord, I don't know how to do it because I like the way it tastes. I like for it to be part of who I am. And I don't want it to go anywhere. And the Lord, he doesn't want us to be afraid to come to him with those things. In fact, it is to those that come before God with nothing hidden, that have a desire to draw closer to God and to be reconciled with God, to be as the publican that smote on his breast and said, Lord God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I need help. And the Lord, he paid the price so that we could come with nothing covered. And we have many examples of those that came to the Lord with nothing covered. And they received help. The Lord didn't say, oh, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. I didn't know that. Now that you've told me that you have this problem, I think about you differently than I did yesterday. And I'm going to remove my blessings from you. No, that is not God. He already knows everything about us. And I think about the story that we read about those that often sought to justify themselves, the Pharisees. And they brought the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And the story tells us that she remained in the midst. And she didn't withdraw herself or her sin from the Lord when she could have slipped out with the others. But she stayed and she remained. Lord, this is me. This is who I am. And she went away, a changed woman, happy that day, I imagine. We read of the story where a man came to the Lord and he said, Lord, my son, he needs help. Can you heal him? He had a bad spirit. And the Lord said, well, all things are possible to those that believe. And the man, he told the Lord, he said, with tears, the scripture said that he cried and he said, Lord, I believe.
And he could have just left it at that. Lord, I do believe. Lord, there's a whole lot of me that believes in you. But he recognized that while he believed, there were some other parts about him that maybe didn't believe. And that there were other parts of him that needed help. Maybe he recognized when he came to the Lord for healing for his son, that when he came before God himself, that he recognized his own need. And he said, Lord, I believe. Would you help thou my unbelief? Lord, I need help too. Lord, I do believe, but nothing covered. Lord, I'm going to be transparent about this. I don't want to present myself as having arrived. Lord, I do love you and I do believe in you and I've seen what you've done and that's why I'm here today. But Lord, there's a part of me that needs help. And the Lord had mercy and performed a miracle that day. We read the story about this man that we just read about, the publican, that he came to the Lord and he went in the temple and he said, Lord God, I have so much need. And he said he smote his breast. He felt it. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just words. He wasn't just playing church. He wasn't just coming so that he could be seen in the temple and go away and say, well, I was at the temple today praying. But he came with his heart. He said, Lord God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. The Pharisee went away unjustified because he justified himself. Get a hold of that. The Pharisee went home after praying with himself in the temple, unjustified, because he justified himself. But the publican, because he did not endeavor to justify himself in any way, and was willing to be fully, completely open before God. Lord, this is who I am, and I am in need of help. He went home justified, not according to his words, according to the words of Jesus Christ. The prodigal son, after committing so much wrong, wasting his life, came back down the road and found the father waiting with outstretched arms. And he said, Father, I've sinned and I've done wrong and I'm not worthy anymore to be called your son. Just, Lord, Father, just if you would just make me as one of your hired servants. And the father wrapped his arms around him and said, kill the fatted calf, because my son has come home. He didn't come home justifying himself. He came home, full disclosure, I've sinned. I'm not worthy. I'd like to be part of your house. I'd like you to be my father. I'd like to call you father, but I'm not worthy. I'll just be one of your servants. This list goes on. The good news this morning is that we can be added to it too, if we will, because we all have great need. Every one of us here today are not in a position to justify ourselves before God. That'll send us home unjustified. But the Lord, it's why the scriptures teach us, Hebrews 4 and 16, where the writer said, come boldly Come with assurance. Come with hope to the throne of grace that ye may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Well, come with what? Come with all the things you've done right? Come with justification? No. Come with your need. Come with your life opened up, where you say, Lord, this is me, and this sin right here in me, Lord, I'm gonna expose it. And Lord, my service to you and other people, this is what it looks like, and it needs help. And Lord, this piece up here of my life, Lord, my love isn't really what it should be. And Lord, there's this other piece over here, Lord, that I'm not very proud of. And Lord, there's this other piece of my life over here. And the Lord is telling us, come to me with all these pieces and parts fully open and exposed. And just bring them to me, because I have help for you in your need in those areas. Yes, as Christians. As Christians. God wants us to always be willing to come and confess and be transparent. Confession and transparency is at the root of growth. If we can't get to the place where we're willing to say, I have a need right here. I'm not going to try to overload it with ketchup so that it tastes something different than it is. No, the ketchup is over here. This is this piece right here. And this is what it looks like, and this is what it tastes like. And Lord, I need help. Lord, I love you. Lord, I do claim to be a Christian. My testimony is that you saved my soul. Lord, I feel that your Spirit is working within me, and I'm endeavoring to make it to heaven, and I'm doing all that I know. And Lord, I want to be a Christian in your eyes, and I believe that I am. But Lord, there's this thing in my life, and Lord, this has been a weight to me up here. I don't know what it is for you. I have these places that, Lord, would you help me with this? I don't want it to taste like that for my whole life. Lord, help improve it so that when it can all go back together and I stand before you, Lord, I will have spread out all these pieces individually before I ever get to the judgment. And so that when I get to the judgment, it's not a time then to open it up and for the first time say, the lettuce has worms on it, and the cheese has mold on it, and the tomato and the meat has gone bad. I want now, today, to be transparent before God, full open, curtains rolled back, full disclosure. Lord, this is who I am. Put it out piece by piece before God, who says, come unto me, all ye that labor. I am your city of refuge. I want to do that today. And sometimes we don't do this because we don't know how we can make it any better. It looks too big for us. We feel like it's so much a part of what our lives are, that we don't know how we can live without it looking like this. Folks, listen. That's why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came that he could help us with the change part. He wants us to come with the transparency part and the confession part, not so that he'll know. He wants us to get to the place where we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need help. And then trust him. Trust him that he can help with these things, even when we don't know how we can cross through those waters.
And we've talked many times about how the Israelites, they came to the Jordan River, and the Lord said, I want you to have the land of Canaan. And they got to the river, and there's the Lord, there's water in front of us, and there's giants on the other side, and we don't know how we can cross. And he said, step into the water. This morning, God's message to you through his word, step into the water. With these things, the things that you're not proud of, the things you need help with, the things that you lock in that back door and shut it and try to act like it's not there. The part of your house you don't show anyone. Step into the water. And you say, well, even if I got past the water, there's giants on the other side. When the Israelites stepped into the water, it was only then that the waters parted. But they had to have faith. When the Lord said, step into the water, he didn't part the waters ahead of time. He said, step into them first. Believe in me. Trust in me. And when they did, they parted. And yes, there were giants that still were in the land, but the Lord helped them overcome the giants. These can be giants in our lives. And the Lord is not asking you to face the giant by yourself. He's saying, that battle is mine, but go face them. I'll go with you. Our part is to be transparent. Our part is to come before the Lord and not be afraid to communicate with him all of the needs that we have in our lives. He is in the business of taking things that are wrong and ugly and difficult and making them right. God wants to develop a relationship with you today. Sometimes we're afraid of it because we've established who we believe our identity is. And when you start taking apart something piece by piece and laying it out in front of you, it starts to lose its identity. Doesn't look like a sandwich anymore. It looks like parts and pieces that we're not all proud of. Be willing to come before the Lord with all of your parts and pieces and trust him with it. And when we do, it is so liberating. There is so much power in humility and transparency. And it's why that the Lord, even today, this morning, continues to come and speak to our hearts and knock on our heart's door and say, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with things that you don't know how to change or unload, and I'll give you rest. What better message is there than that? I have paid the price. I have the answer. Your part is to come. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts today. Let's be open before God. Amen.